College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Backup quarterback news.
That's backup quarterback competitions music right there. By God!
I need backup quarterback competition like I need air.
Well, good, because you're going to go ahead and gosh darn get it.
Because it's here in Buffalo.
Mike White taking reps over
Mitch Trubisky.
There we go. There we go. You know why I need it, though, Derek, honestly? We talked about it maybe on air, maybe off air. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. They only have one Sunday game.
Yeah.
They have two night preseason games. That's why I need it.
I need it just for, hey, welcome into Buffalo Bills pregame. On the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm not going to see much of Josh Allen today, but I am going to see quarterback two and three.
That's all I need. I will tell you, though, Mitch Trubisky wearing number 11 and Mike White wearing 14 doesn't feel right. What? I see Mitch Trubisky in 10, and it's taking me a minute to, like, he's 11. It's still taking me time.
Would you rather Khalil Shakir not have 10?
No, it's the worst part. I'm like, no, like, Shakir's 10. It's just, it's taking me a minute for Trubisky to be 11.
I like that. Like, remember, like, the old video games, how, like, they wouldn't change the jersey number when you put someone with the same number on a team?
Mm-hmm.
If you created a team?
Yeah.
Also at number 10.
Yep.
Mitch Trubisky.
And this, college teams, because the rosters are bigger, one guy in offense, one guy in defense can share the same number.
Correct.
That typically is how it works. The NFL, though, I mean, that's, we all know I'm a big numbers guy with jerseys, but, like, I always pictured certain guys in certain numbers. Like, to be fair, I can't see Josh Allen wearing anything but 17.
Correct.
I also, like, it wasn't my time, but, like, Joe Montana wearing 19 for Kansas City is a crime. Like, he's 16. Like, that's who he is. Like, he should be 16. And, like, Trubisky is not that guy. Like, I should not have this thing where, like, I saw the highlight yesterday of Max Hairston, and I was like, oh, who's that?
Who's that throwing the ball?
Oh, it's Trubisky, of course. He's wearing 11 now. It takes me a second, and I don't like that. It's going to take me a second. The moment I see the first preseason game is, who's number 11 coming? Oh, it's Mr. Trubisky. Okay. I got there. I do like Mike White, though, as potentially the backup quarterback for the Bills. I've had this song and dance, though, for the last few years. I want so badly. And they don't need to. It's a desire for me to have happen. It doesn't need to happen. I want the Bills to invest in a high potential, very low floor backup quarterback out of college. Like, my dream would be for them to draft Joe Milton so that all of preseason I can just watch this uber athlete that probably will never start an actual regular season game of football play. Patriots fans, you know, had a ball last year. Drake May would play three drives. That'd be it. And then they would just go to Joe Milton and be a blast. I want that. I don't want Mitch Trubisky. I don't want Mike White. No offense. I just want, like, the uber talented guy to college that didn't totally have great success. That I want to enjoy watching backup quarterback play. That does not mean I want a Quinn Ewers. That's not what that meant. But I want somebody where it's like, yeah, you're a freak athlete. You were a 4 or 5-star guy out of high school. Didn't really hit in college. You're a 6th-round pick. Fantastic. And a bunch of us can sit here like psychos going like, I watched him the whole time. Jake Fromm was also not that. If anything, the exact opposite of what I wanted. Where it's like, cool, I watched him in college and I hated every second of it. Now I get to watch him here. Awesome.
So Quinn Ewers.
So Quinn, oh man. You were doing that on draft day. I don't even know if that was on air or it was off, but you were like, we're getting close that they might take him. And I'm like, I'm going to get upset if they take him. I'm going to get real upset. I hope he has a great NFL career. It was just, I was exhausted by the end of the Ewers era. And I'm like, and now that's who's going to dominate my August football schedule for the Bills.
That would have been incredible.
I'd have been exhausted.
I would have been, That would have just been time is a flat circle.
It's exactly what that would have been. It's exactly what that would have been. It's the moment I thought I escaped him, I'm into the Arch Manning era, and you're like, no, he's going to become a beloved backup quarterback on your favorite pro team.
Right.
And I'd have been like, awesome. That's stupendous. I'm the one guy that has strong feelings
against
him.
I'm the one guy who can escape.
803-0550, the number to call. Speaking of college, there have been a lot of college media days going on, conference media days. SEC was last week, Big Ten and ACC this week. Also this week in Detroit is the MAC Media Day. And
let's go.
The preseason coaches poll is out. I have mentioned UB a lot. I think they are going to be one of the favorites to win the MAC title. And if you think top four is one of the favorites, then you'd be right. They finish fourth in the coaches poll, though should be noted they do not receive any first place votes. Toledo comes in at one, Miami, Ohio, and then Ohio at three. And then followed by UB and then Northern Illinois rounds out your top five. So very, very exciting there. Can't wait for that season to get going. But yeah, the coaches poll has been finishing at fourth.
And
I think that's right.
Yeah.
It's fine. I have no issues. I know I brought up a lot BetMGM when I was looking at their odds, had them as the second best odds.
Yes.
But there's questions at quarterback. Could totally see the coaches poll going, yeah, until that's answered.
But seeing a roster you already think is on paper looking like the fourth best, even with questions at quarterback, hey, take that.
Pretty good spot to be in. So Justin Fields, by the way.
Yes.
We did mention that crisis seems to be averted. There were more reports following that, though. The crisis being averted is they didn't fracture his toe. He is actually still getting an MRI. And you brought up to me off air of, like, is this the dreaded turf toe?
Which is still the worst name for an injury in all of, like, the English language. Because it does not sound serious at all, and it actually is. But then I think I saw something from Ian Rappaport on this, where it's a non-big toe injury.
Yeah, dislocated non-big toe.
Okay, care to tell us which one then?
No, I'm okay with that. The less I know about someone's feet, the better. So
good point.
A non-big toe.
We got to know too much about Nate Geary's feet.
100%. So the less I know, absolutely the better.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's a non-big toe. So if you're worried about a specific digit on his foot, it's not the big one. If that matters.
I like Justin Fields a lot. I think we've kind of seen what he can be as a quarterback. He should have played longer for Pittsburgh. I do think that. I think they pulled the plug kind of ridiculously to go to Russell Wilson, and that ended up hurting them in the long run. But I think we've kind of tapped out. We kind of know what Fields is. For about an hour and a half, though, I was pretty into the idea of, like, Tyrod taking snaps. I'm not as big of a Tyrod fan as Joe DiBiase, but that's the guy that broke the drought, and he was wonderful here for 3 years.
There should always be a soft place in your heart as a Bills fan for Tyrod Taylor.
And Jeremy brought up the idea of, like, oh, man, could he break the two longest-running droughts at the time in the NFL? Or I think he said the longest ever, but he wasn't sure on that. But the two longest droughts at the time, the Bills and then the Jets, I was sitting here and I'm like, man, as long as it's not for the division, like if the Bills have the division locked up and the Jets are just fighting for the seventh seed, that last game at Highmark could have been a lot of fun if it was Tyrod doing that. That last game at Highmark could have been a lot of fun. Mainly because I don't really know how a lot of the crowd would have reacted. Like, let's put it in a box. Bills have the one seed. They've locked up the division. It's exactly everyone's fears for Week 18 with the red helmets. Josh Allen's going to go out there, take a snap, and leave so that he keeps his Iron Man streak going. And then it's Mike White or Mr. Trubisky, whoever the backup quarterback, and they run the rest of the offense. Will there be a semblance of Bills fans going, I really want Tyrod back in the playoffs? Or will it be, I want to ruin the Jets again? Because let's remember, when the Bills weren't even good, Ryan Fitzpatrick almost gets the Jets in the playoffs.
Correct.
And the last game of the year, he has a horrendous game against the Bills. They don't get in.
Yeah.
So I do wonder, it's like, no, does he get the Ryan Fitzpatrick treatment? Or is it more, hey, man, we're good now. We're not even going to play each other. Go have fun. I think it's closer to the Fitzpatrick thing, but I'd love to know what it actually became.
So I went looking for the all-time longest postseason droughts in the NFL's history.
I feel like it's Detroit, probably.
No.
Really?
Detroit's in the top 10.
Okay. Not top 5?
No. Technically, the Bills aren't in the top 5.
I'm going to hear a team that was barely an organization for 30 years, and it's going to frustrate me.
Oh, no, no. These are all actual, like, NFL organizations.
Okay.
The Cardinals, 25 seasons.
That was
But this is
one.
Also...
That's bad on me.
That was back in 1949 when it started.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of teams that couldn't make it in the 1940s, Washington.
Oof.
For also 25 seasons. They're started in 1946.
Oof. And then they get Sonny Jurgensen at some point. Then they finally do, I think.
And just to continue on teams that couldn't make the playoffs in the 1940s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, with 24 seasons, they couldn't make the playoffs starting in 1948, and they didn't do it until 1972. So the formation of the AFL, the Steelers were just bleh. Then
oh yeah, that's right, that's right.
Then
yeah.
The Browns and Bills are tied at 17 seasons.
Okay.
Then the New York Giants in 1964, all the way to 81, 17 years. The Eagles, also 17 years, 61 to 78.
Yep.
Detroit comes in here as well. Speaking of teams that couldn't win in the 1940s, this drought goes through the 1940s, 16 years, from 36 to 52.
Mm.
Then the Cardinals, in a more recent time, 83 to 98. The Packers in the 1940s to 1960. How tough was the playoff field?
Nah.
1945 to 1960. Okay. And then actively the Jets. Tied with the Bengals, 14 seasons. Buccaneers, 14 seasons. Chiefs, 14 seasons. Cardinals again, also dealing with the 1940s.
Yeah, I can see that.
Can I just like not count these at this point?
No, they can stay.
Because the Cardinals, Eagles, and Steelers all have the same time frame, 1933 to 1947.
Well, I mean, if you remember the Eagles early
years. What are the playoffs? Two teams?
But the Eagles early years before they get Dick Vermeil was horrendous.
I know, but what I'm saying is the 1930s and 1940s, was it two teams that made the playoffs?
No, thinking about it though, honestly,
there was no free agency.
They probably weren't trading so much. So if you nailed the drafts or whatever it was, you were probably fine. And if you didn't, you were hurting bad.
So if we wanted to talk about like modern era streaks,
mm-hmm.
the first four do tap into the modern era, even though they date back to the 1940s.
Right.
They tap into it where the AFL and the NFL do end up merging.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the Browns, the Bills, the Giants, the Eagles, the modern-day Cardinals, and then the Jets. If we're talking about modern day, pre-merger, I'm kind of taking out of it. If Tyrod Taylor were to break two different double-digit streaks of postseason droughts, I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but also very much not. Put them in the hall.
At least put the jerseys in the hall.
Put the jerseys in the hall. The people should know about the legend of Tyrod Taylor.
Just be like, he broke the two longest-standing droughts. Would have been almost 10 years apart now. We're getting close to that.
31 combined years of playoff droughtness broken by one man.
It's willpower. He's also the last time Virginia Tech was good at football, too. Just saying.
Yes. I mean,
Tyrod's got that aura about him. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Nathan is with us. Nathan, good morning. How are we doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Personally, as a Buffalo fan, I love Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I don't want him to break the drought for the Jets would mean that the Sabres are the lone four major sports that have the longest streak.
Oh, you're so right. You are so right.
If he does break the drought, then I don't know, maybe the Sabres should hire him and put him on like the equipment staff or something.
Just something, right?
Get him on the coaching staff, right. Do something. Yeah.
Exactly. But that is the only reason. Other than that, love Tyrod, would love to see that.
Nathan, thanks for the call, man. That is something, too. That might also lead, and again, this
that's
scenario.
That's a taking the bad with the good kind of scenario.
Yeah. But in this scenario, this would also have meant Justin Fields' season was done. It does not look that it's going to be the case at all. Tyrod is going to be the backup quarterback. But if it were, the Sabres could actually play into how the crowd is going because of what Nathan brought up. If the Sabres were firing all cylinders and it's December and it's like, guys, they might be in the playoffs, bunch of Bills fans might not be feeling that feeling of, I don't want to be the lone right cow here. I don't need that in my life. Like, I don't need this.
Well, the Sabres have also done this before where they dupe us with a promising start to the season.
It's been a few years, though. For the most part, the last two, it's this been
incarnation,
bad starts.
This incarnation of the Sabres gets off to dreadful starts often, actually.
So if they actually started good, there might be a ton of people going, wait, it's legit now. And I actually would probably put myself in that.
And then I would say, careful.
Yeah.
Careful.
Those playoff droughts, those numbers are absurd. I can't even think. I mean, I grew up in the Bills drought. Like, I didn't really see a Bills playoff game because I was alive, but, you know, not really cognizant yet at the time until I was a sophomore in college. I think sophomore in college. You're talking like the St. Louis Cardinals at the time, right? Because that would have been the St. Louis Cardinals, not the Arizona Cardinals.
Correct.
25 years.
25 years.
A quarter of a century. Gone. No play. You would say playoffs of somebody
multiple
in St.
teams.
Louis? Oh, man. That's just...
all time.
So bad.
Two teams with 25 and another with 24.
That's so bad.
Like, again, what were the playoffs in the 1940s?
You might be right. Like, two teams... going back and forth. A lot like baseball, where it was like, you need to win your division. There's going to be six teams. That's it.
The 30s and 40s, because you ready? The Cardinals, Eagles, and Steelers, the three teams that I listed there, 25, 25, and 24, they also have 14 on the same list, which tells me they all made it in different aspects here. Like, well, actually, no. Washington's on that one. So it's the Cardinals, Washington, and the Steelers. But the Cardinals and Steelers have 14-year playoff droughts from 33 to 47, make it in 48, and then don't make it again until the 70s.
Oof.
Oof. You two teams had 1 year.
That's you know, looking back on it, too.
That's wild.
But like honestly, like now like talking about playoff droughts, too, because we've talked about it with the Sabres, like if they would have like backed into one of these years, like how, you know, would we really be sitting here like having like the same conversations and upset? The 2020 year, they play one more game, they play Montreal, they get in, something like that. It's absolutely, I think, more painful if you do have that drought 1 year randomly and then miss like the next 5-6 years. I think that's more painful than rather like the consistent, like we're just garbage. You kind of almost expect it and someone embrace it, where that one random year where nothing happens and you're like just kind of happy, there's that excitement initially and then you're angry.
Like you're back to angry.
Like seriously though, like you look at the Bills drought, they break it off that random, you know, negative point differential. It's a lot of turnovers. They switch quarterback. It makes no sense why they make it, right? Just on, you know, looking at stats. Let's say Allen misses, or they just don't take him. They take Rosen.
Right.
And there is no second year jump up from, you know, we're 6-10, we're taking our lumps, we're going to be back next year. There is no 2019 jump.
No.
It's just bad. All of a sudden, that year where they make it.
Remember 2017?
But I think a lot of people more just get angry of like, because we've talked about it too.
Right.
The team getting rid of Tyrod.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, there's going to be some vitriol towards that. We've mentioned it. Like Bean's legacy, I think for a lot of people, probably becomes very negative very quickly.
Very fast.
Because he is not there for the 2017 draft. And ultimately, that still would have been a very good draft. Instead, really, some of his first moves are to strip the roster down, get rid of the quarterback that broke the drought, and then go take a risky prospect. Like, when you put it in that context,
yeah.
Bean really put himself out on the line there. Really put himself on the line.
Right away.
Respect it, but right away.
Right away. But, hey, what better way to define your tenure?
Right. Because
a lot of general managers have to do that now. You are hired as a new general manager. You're taking a new quarterback typically.
Yep. And instead of resting on his laurels going, well, this guy got us here. He's playing fine football. He got us here.
Yeah.
He went, no.
And there is a team that did do that with a former Bills assistant general manager. Joe Shane has to extend Daniel Jones.
Not great.
But now it makes sense, though, that general manager and that head coach are allowed to take a quarterback of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been able to do it from the beginning. It's not like Daniel Jones was tearing up the league.
He threw 15 touchdown passes in the year they make the playoffs and beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
15 touchdown passes.
Yep.
In the year, what would that have been, 23?
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm telling you, I do think it was ownership going, no, you have your quarterback, like, we're done.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most painful things.
One of the biggest crimes of NFL history is allowing Dave Gettleman to retire in dignity.
He kind of was right, though, on the Saquon Barkley pick. Like, he's
he
like,
was that, right about that pick.
That guy's going to be wearing a gold jacket. He just probably won't go in as a Giant.
Which is hysterical now.
Probably going in as a Eagle.
The part of the problem with that was, hey, we're going to take Daniel Jones at like fourth overall. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, he's Eli Manning.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, man. You remember that draft? They were fully convinced that was Eli Manning. Because David Cutcliffe at the time, who was Eli's coach in college, I think was still the Duke coach.
He was.
And so they're like, that's Eli Manning. And then they hit Jackson Dart. Yeah. I am a fan of Jackson Dart, though. I'm into whatever's going to be going on there.
His first pass of 11-on-11s in training camp was a pick six.
Don't say that to me.
I will say that.
And Russell Wilson is the starter for now. We'll see how that goes.
Hey, 803. It's fun to do overreactions to videos.
It's my favorite part of the offseason. 803-0550, the number to call. One other thing real quick on the playoff droughts I do want to bring up, because I know Jeremy and Joe were mentioning this too when talking about the Sabres drought. Jets have the same years. The droughts, or the last time they were in the playoffs, started when the first season of Game of Thrones and the last A Song of Ice and Fire book came out. I will note that George R. R. Martin is from New York and is a fan of both the Jets and the Giants. So there has been rumblings within that community for years that until the Jets get in the playoffs,
so
he will not release the book.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's why there's so much pain in those books and destruction and
yes,
chaos.
Yes.
It's because he's a Jets fan.
He's a Jets fan.
He's a Jets fan. Now it all makes
and
sense.
And a Mets fan. And a Mets fan. I should also point that.
There's a lot of pain in that writing, and now I understand where it comes from.
All comes from that. 803-0550, the number to call. James, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've been spending a lot of today also talking about Bills training camp over at St. John Fisher. And that coverage is brought to you by Figo Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your upstate Honda dealer today. We now go back to the phones. Next up today, James is on the line. James, how are we doing this morning?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing well.
So I just had a quick thought. We've been talking a lot about the offense and the defense and new guys, but I haven't heard anything about Teron Johnson yet. I know he's our all-pro nickel corner, but we haven't – and he kind of took a step back from last year stats-wise and you know, things like that. But I haven't heard anything of how he's doing in practice. And I know he's kind of a key part to our defense that kind of goes under the radar. But I just want to know how he's doing in training camp.
Yeah, James, thanks for the call. I think for him especially, and really for a lot of veterans as well, we say it a lot for offensive linemen, you know, the less you hear about them, the better.
Correct.
Johnson might be the same thing. And he took a step back last year. He dealt with a lot of injuries. He was beat up for a good bit of last year. His size has always been a bit of an issue for him. Like, that's maybe the one area where he kind of gets beat up a little bit, is he's not the biggest guy in the world. But for him specifically, it may actually just be the less you hear, the better. Because he's not going to be the guy that they're really going to be testing a lot, the whole thing. He's going to probably have some splash plays. We're only in day two, and pads are not on yet. But if we were hearing, yeah, Teron looks bad, like he's getting beaten regularly, mm-hmm. that'd be something. You're probably not going to be hearing a ton of just like, yeah, a guy that he was covering didn't get open because the ball didn't go there.
Right.
You know, it's also probably the bonus of having a good quarterback that's playing for you, or even a great one, is that you're not going to have those moments either where he maybe tests the boundaries where he shouldn't.
But also you do have a quarterback that is willing to actually test those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do hear something, then good. Let's see what we've got. Josh Allen, go ahead. Test Taron Johnson.
Have
fun.
Yeah, to be fair as well, and I shouldn't totally say like he won't test the boundaries. In training camp is kind of when you should.
Yes.
But I think the less you hear about Taron probably actually is the better. He is an established player. He's a second-team All-Pro in 23. Don't worry about him. You know, he dealt with a lot of injuries last year. Should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we're talking a lot about the young guys is there is a lot of unknowns in where they're going. I mean, like, Max Harrison's a first-round pick. But, you know, the last time they took a first-round corner didn't go particularly well.
Correct.
Now, the time before that did work out fairly well.
And that guy's back.
So there's a bit of a 50-50 there. I think that's why a lot of us are focusing so much on the young guys is that's the unknown. Taron's not really unknown. You know, Terrell Bernard probably is going to be just fine. And then on that, though, we did hear a lot about Christian Benford yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And just locking down guys, that whole thing. You know, maybe that is also something of just like he's kind of taking that next step. And yeah,
it does look like the offense has had its groove today, though.
They've had a much better groove. Keon Coleman especially has been somebody that's getting a lot of his flowers. I wanted to bring that up at some point today. The Hard Knocks cover for this season came out.
You and I looked at it yesterday before I left the building, and you were very happy to see certain aspects of this.
I was, and part of it is as I've mentioned, I like that they're doing Hard Knocks because it puts the Bills brand out there. My biggest issue, I guess, with the run of the last few years of the Bills is that I think there have been some players that maybe don't deserve all pro votes, but I'd like to see them maybe get Pro Bowls, Pro Bowl votes, what have you. I think there's been enough players that warrant that. I still think they have somewhat of a talent difference to teams like Philadelphia and even at times Kansas City, but not by much. But I was really excited to see a guy like Christian Benford be front and center on the cover. And they didn't just show his face or just his number. The cover is, you know, his back, 47, Benford. And, you know,
it's the only name you see.
I do know, or at least I think Joe said it, but we kind of saw Hard Knocks was really following around to doing a feature on Khalil Shakir. You know, Deion Dawkins and Josh Allen do their own marketing. You know, Deion, and I say this lovingly, the guy never shuts up. He's everywhere. And it's awesome because I think he's going to have a great media career when this is done. And then Allen, of course, is the MVP last year. He's on Bob Does Sports, so he's doing like the YouTube golf thing. Like, he's everywhere. He's at these celebrity golf tournaments.
He's an NFL MVP. People will know who you are. Like,
mm-hmm.
To his credit or maybe even his detriment, like, people remember, though. Like, Matt Ryan won that one MVP. Remember that?
You remember that.
But it might be because, like, he might just have been the random name of similar names constantly doing it, or Allen wins one again.
Mm-hmm. And this is just part of a run of a Hall of Fame career.
And it's just a run of who he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But the three people that don't have a helmet on are Allen, Dawkins, and Shakir. And the other players that are shown on there, Greg Rousseau and Terrell Bernard, which for your programs this year, just for your adjustment, remember, Terrell Bernard is wearing the number 8.
I am going to have to remember that.
That's going to take a moment.
That's another one, too, where I'm going to see number 8 on defense. Go, who is that? Oh, it's Terrell Bernard. Okay.
That's right. It's Terrell Bernard. It's going to take probably a couple weeks.
Yeah. But he is also somebody that I look at, too, and I'm like, okay, like, that's exciting, too. He is somebody I think absolutely deserves Pro Bowls, maybe even pushing all pros. And that's where I'm excited, maybe at the, you know, fully healthy linebacker room. We haven't actually gotten any update on Dorian Williams, at least that I've seen. But, you know, this is kind of what I hope that they do, that they're able to do with Hard Knocks. Yeah, I want to see the feature on Trey White. And, of course, they're going to do probably some stuff on Joe Andreessen, or they'll pick one of these young undrafted guys out of a lineup and kind of run with their story. But also, I think there's some really good players on the Bills that haven't really gotten a lot of media attention that I kind of hope start to. Benford, especially for me, because when that ESPN top 10 lists were coming out, you know, we did a show on, like, who do you think will be on this list next year? And I pushed back a little bit on Christian Benford because I was like, I want to see when the cornerback list comes out. Well, it turns out he didn't even receive a vote.
He didn't even receive a vote. Taron Johnson did.
Mm-hmm. And but, so I wonder, though, with that list coming out, we do know the Bills have some editorial power here with Hard Knocks. I wonder if they pushed for some of their guys to specifically be on the cover, and maybe a guy like Benford, who they think is going to have another great year, to be somewhat front and center. I do wonder about that. Because I think that would be a really, really good decision to get his name out there. To, you know, people comfortably say it all the time about the Heisman, that it's a campaign. And they mean that both in terms of like the campaign on the field, but the campaign off the field. Travis Hunter did deserve the Heisman last year. Mm-hmm. But people were also talking about him at Big 12 Media Day and before that as potential Heisman candidate. Ashton Jeanty
did it on the field.
He comes up late. And, you know, there really wasn't a campaign for him. And because he wasn't a quarterback, the campaign wasn't natural. But if he was more well-known before...
It was a reactive look-at-the-numbers campaign.
It was a reactive look-at-the-numbers campaign. And so maybe if there was something before, maybe he does end up getting the Heisman. Probably not. I think Hunter really did put up one of the best seasons in college football history. It's unreal that he was able to do what he was able to do at two different positions. Right. And he's going to continue that into the NFL. But this can kind of be the same thing for the Bills. It's not the Bills Embedded, which is, by the way, mostly watched by Bills fans.
Right.
This is now going to be a national thing.
This is HBO Hard Knocks, which it's HBO Max, HBO.
HBO.
Max.
Max, yep.
Max HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Back to HBO Max.
It's tough, man. It's tough. I just, get me in the room.
Did they randomly have a time where they were like just called HMAX or something? Like,
I have questions. But I'm excited for a guy like Benford and also Deion Dawkins as well because of the offseason he had. We talked about this when it was a first announced. There's going to be a segment on him getting the NFL offensive lineman award created in literally 4 months.
Right. He did heavy lifting on creating a Protector of the Year award.
Yep. I've mentioned as well with Greg Rousseau, because of the revamped defensive line, is he going to be somebody that puts up a bigger statistical year? Well, if people know who he is on a national scale before the season even begins, you know, week four when ESPN or NFL Network are doing a spot on like Greg Rousseau, 4 sacks in 4 games, the name already registers with you.
Because you watched it on HBO.
You already know who that is.
You watched it on Hard Knocks.
Quarterback is easy. That does it itself. When you have a left tackle with the personality of Deion Dawkins, that's easy. He does it himself.
But the rest of the team does not have that.
In part, their position doesn't really help them either. Like, pass rushers, you'll know when they get a ton of sacks or they're an early draft pick.
Yes.
That's kind of the two things. After that, it's a lot of unknown guys. Cornerback, especially, we've talked about it, is such a volatile position year after year. Because you'll go from 1 year, I got 6 picks. Great. Next year, guess who's not thrown to you?
Anybody.
Anybody. So you'll go down to 1, and it's like, oh, they're washed. No. No one targeting them.
Right.
You know, there's very few guys that year after year after year had zero issues being great corners. Darrell Revis is kind of the best of you know, the modern generation. We'll see what Sertan's able to do, you know, following being literally named the defensive player of the year, not even just an all-pro corner, but like in an award that is dominated by how many sacks did you get? A cornerback won that award.
Yeah, it has to be something where the Bills have an opportunity right now to gain a little bit more notoriety across the league with plenty of players on a good, on a great collective roster. Mm-hmm. There are good players. We've said it, the lack of star power about the Bills.
Yep.
The lack of them. And it is this interesting dynamic. Like, the Bills are perfectly fine being this great team that has a bunch of good players and not a lot of superstars to them. And yet, now you have a chance to actually give some shine to the players that are a little unheralded.
Mm-hmm.
The players that actually should get a little bit of the shine. Bernard, Benford. Those are players that deserve it. Because they have put up top-tier, high-end production and do not get the recognition for it. The recognition they got has been through contract extensions. Everyone on that list, by the way, do note that
college football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 4 major extensions that had to get done during the offseason are on the Hard Knocks poster.
They're all there.
They're on the Hard Knocks poster.
Which also tells you, I mean, of course, like that's how the Bills feel about them.
They gave are them the extensions future.
Early.
Well, they were all up for those extensions this offseason. They got all 4 of them done, and James Cook was the one that didn't get done. So they are the future. Mm-hmm. It's also, no, we can get loud about these guys now because we paid them and most of them were below the market value supposedly. So we got to we got a bargain on a couple of these guys. Now we're really going to sing about them because we got them locked up. Now they're not going to cost us more because there's not as much of a microscope under them. Mm-hmm. So this is smart business. It's no longer keeping Christian Benford a secret so that he doesn't cost as much. This is, yo, we got Christian Benford, dude.
Yeah, he's locked down.
Now he's locked in.
Now let's do a little bit of a political campaign for him.
Let's let the people know. We got these guys locked up all under extensions this offseason.
Yeah.
Who's the first player they're featuring? The first extension they get done.
I will say, and you mentioned his name there, and he did not get an extension, but he is one of their more well-known players, and he's not on the cover. And then listening to Brandon Bean talk yesterday about how, yeah, it's kind, you know, they want to pay everybody, but, you know, oh, you look 2-3 years down the line, like we don't want to pay somebody and then have to cut somebody later. Can you take anything from James Cook not being on this cover?
I can take it the same way that I've taken everything about the James Cook approach, which is, I hate to say it, but make sure you enjoy James Cook while he's still a Bill.
Yep. And that's kind of how I took it,
And James Cook is taking the same approach, which is, I'm going to do what I can. I will work hard, be a team-first guy, and show any team, be it the Bills or anyone else, that I'm here for you.
Yeah, he may have done himself more favors come free agency around the league of he did in an offseason that has been filled with noise for a lot of players. James Cook was sort of the afterthought because at every turn, we talked about it, at every turn, he picked the route that would help the team and maybe hurt his checkbook. Not his checkbook, hurt his bank account.
Right.
Because, well, he showed up to mandatory minicamp, didn't get fined. I think he's fine. Training camp, is he going to be holding? Nope, he's practicing in full. And when he talked to the media, and even when he talked to podcasts, I don't want to be a problem. I want to reach the highest of highs. I don't want to be a problem.
The video of him tearing up pictures of the Dolphins and the Chiefs in there. Like, the guy has shown, no, I'm here for my team. I understand. It looks like he's saying, I understand the situation I'm in. I don't have the strongest bargaining chips. But I am going to do what is right for this team because, be it the Bills or somebody else, I will be rewarded for this in addition to a good season.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that James Cook has the best season that a running back can have in the NFL. Because the Bills fans, and James Cook will all benefit from it one way or another.
803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Do want to make one note here before we do hit our next timeout. Per Elena Getzenberg, defensive end A.J. Epinesa joins linebacker Dorian Williams as leaving Bills practice early today. Hope to get more word on them. But to a certain extent, the injuries are starting to pile up.
That one better not be a hand injury, I swear to goodness.
I was just about to say that. I'm like, we do know there
we
was
we do know
that,
he bonked Jackson Hawes.
That little scuffle.
Yes. So,
could be something to monitor. Of course, Knox, Chenault, Brown, and Van Pran Granger also out for Bills. So the injuries are starting to pile up here.
Of course, talking about training camp, all throughout, coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we wrap up the Extra Point Show coming up next here on WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live today. Do want to remind you as well that Sal Capaccio takes you behind the scenes during Bills training camp with Sal's All Access Facebook Live on WGR's Facebook page, driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
Yeah, I do think, though, there's a lot to see and hear from training camp today. James Cook talking now, It looks like. And it does seem like it's a lot of the same sentiment. He knows that he would get fined. He doesn't want that to happen. He's going to go and get what he's going to get, knowing that he needs to be out there for his team. From after practice, Cook, quote, "It's my job, so I have to participate so I don't get fined. Just go out there and show them I'm ready to go earn what I want to get. I deserve what I want."
Mm-hmm.
End quote. I will say that is good. And that is something where Cook will be rewarded one way or another by the Bills or another team for his tactics. He knows that he doesn't have a lot of chips on the table here. And he knows he's on a team that probably has realistically told him, we can't fit you into the budget. We'd want to give you what the money is, but we just, like, we can't do it.
Being talked about it yesterday.
And that's a regrettable thing. But then the player goes, okay, so we all know, and that's all right. The writing's on the wall. I'm not going to ask you to trade me. I'm going to be a free agent next year. So we'll play the year, and we'll go and get it.
He has now become somebody like, I am. Please do not get hurt.
I
want them to use him a lot, get the most out of him while you got him, the whole thing. But because I think he's making, in a way, kind of a bad decision. But also, like, I really respect it.
I wouldn't say it's a bad decision, though.
Monetarily, it's not.
But I would even say the approach is not that bad either.
It's not.
He's staying true to his principles, which anyone that's read anything on James Cook's mannerisms, like if you watch him, take it for what it is, man. He is the kind of person, he'll say it and he means it.
Yep.
He's absolutely not going to say one thing and then do something else.
I do find it funny, though. Like, he is not mincing his words either when he's speaking with the media. Like, I'm seeing correct. Some of these quotes. Like, it's my job. I got to participate out here so I don't get fined. Like,
he is saying.
Like, that's awesome.
Yes.
Now you're going to play around.
But then being asked about why he wants to be in Buffalo long term. Quarterback, the fans, great organization.
Yeah. He's happy. It's working here. Why
and
would
he
I
does
to
want to spend his entire career in Buffalo. It just sounds like to me both sides know. I don't know if we have money for you.
Mm-hmm.
We can look at next year's books, but like that's next year. You do your job here, and either we or another team will reward you.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Absolutely. We also have some breaking news I do want to share before we wrap up today. Wrestling legend Hulk Hogan has reportedly passed away at the age of 71. This being first reported by TMZ, though. If you do know TMZ, sometimes not in the greatest way, but they are usually pretty correct, especially when it comes to celebrity deaths. Ozzy Osbourne earlier this week. Now, Hulk Hogan appears to have passed away today at the age of 71. The wrestling legend, well before, Derek, either of our times, but it's kind of impossible to not know Hulk Hogan, really at any kind of point in your life. He really did become a fixture in American culture, really, I think throughout his entire life, starting in wrestling and then going on to being an actor and continuing to wrestle, because most of those wrestlers don't fully retire. They kind of keep going until the end. And so, yeah, 71, he appears to have passed away. Ozzy Osbourne also earlier this week as well. So kind of tough week there. That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back on tomorrow for a Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Day number 3 of camp. But coming up after a quick timeout, some little Sabres talk with Sabres Live. This is WGR.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.